Hello. I'm so happy to see each of you here because my prayer was that Yahweh would bring the people to hear this message that he wanted to hear it. And because it was on Rosh Chodesh and we don't always have a big crowd, I was praying about that. And I said, well, you said this was a message for the body. And not too many of our GTZ's family might be there. And he said, you know, it was, you know, we didn't talk about the fact that this is not just my testimony. This is a message from him for the body. And I don't think that was stated at any time. And I was thinking about that and asking him about that, and he says, not by might, it's not by power. It is by my spirit that they will come. So if you're here, you were brought here because he wanted you to hear this message. And if you just give me a moment, I just need to speak to Father a moment. Father, I thank you so much. I am absolutely thrilled that you've given me an opportunity to speak out what you've done in my life and what you can do in anybody's life, Father. This is huge in my life. It's completely changed my life. I still, after this much time, I can hardly comprehend that it's real. I feel like I'm living in a dream. And I give you praise and glory. And Father, you've done so much. There are so many different directions I could go in. I could talk all night and not run out. But I have a time restriction. So I ask you to fill my mouth and not let me waste time so that your message can come forth. And I cannot do that without you. I am totally dependent on you. And I give you praise and I give you honor for everything that you want to do in this place today. I believe it will be accomplished. And I thank you for it in the name of Yeshua. I'm excited. I'm so excited. If I start out like I tried to tell Dixie when all of this was fresh, and I would hit a little on this and a little on that, and she couldn't make sense of anything. And she told me that she prayed about it and said, Father, I know she has a powerful message, but I don't know what it is. So I hope I don't leave you tonight feeling the same way. Well, let me just say this, because there is not time to go into my past, or I won't get to the message he wants you to have. I will just tell you, my life has been a mess. And it wasn't because I wasn't trying. I had a very godly mother. I don't remember ever not knowing about Jesus. We didn't know his real name was Yeshua at that time. We knew him as Jesus, and never remember not knowing about him or loving him or thinking that Jesus loved me, and was in church all my life and tried to serve him. Had problems from childhood, bondages from childhood. If it's possible to be born with a demon, I think I was, or demonic oppression, let me put it that way. I don't remember when I was not oppressed by a spirit of fear. Fear was huge in my life and affected every aspect of my life. Another thing that was huge was a shame-based nature. Couldn't get rid of that thing even after realizing what it was as an adult and serving him and doing everything I knew to do. I could not get rid of that. The other things that were huge were fear of abandonment and fear of rejection. Huge, to the point that I had actually gotten where I wanted to just seclude myself because I'd been abandoned so many times and rejected so many times that I felt like I could not go through that pain one more time. Some time ago, many years actually, I prayed I was trying so hard. I was trying to overcome so many things. And Yahweh was working in my life. I made progress, but it seemed small, and there was so much mess in my life. Literally, and I won't get into this, but at some point I hope you will allow me to share the point that I had planned to take my own life. And on two different occasions, he just flat out himself stopped me. And I'm so very thankful for that. What a waste. Because look what he's done for me now. Wouldn't be standing up here being able to glorify him. Spend the rest of my life glorifying him and thanking him for preventing that. But that's just to let you know the depth of my despair at times in my life. So that you can, what I want you to understand more than anything else is how dark it was, so you can understand the light that's there now, the difference in my life. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and share this. Told Dixie this right after my healing and my deliverance. If you'd taken me as a child and you set me down in a dumpster and you said, this is your home, this is where you will live your life, and I grew up in that dumpster, not knowing any different and being comfortable there because that's where I'd always been. If I had lived my life up to this point in that dumpster, and then suddenly, no warning, somebody just walks up and reaches down and picks me up out of that dumpster and sets me in a mansion on a hill and tells me that's my home. That's the difference in my life. And that is not an exaggeration. Dixie's my sister. I'm sure all of you know that. She's walked all of this with me. She's walked through my darkest hour. She's always been my encourager and the one I depended on. And she can verify that I am not exaggerating. Am I exaggerating, Dixie? No. Okay. In February, well, let me share this first because it's significant to me. I'm a country girl, so often Yahweh will show me visions or things using country things because I understand that. And some years ago, I was praying because I was discouraged. I was trying so hard, and I wanted so much more, and I knew there could be so much more, but I didn't know how to get it. I didn't know what was wrong, so I didn't know what to do about it. And he showed me, you know, the big old farm wagons, any of you that were raised in the country, the big farm wagons that take out in the field and the pile up with hay. Well, he showed me one of those big farm wagons, and it was full of rocks and stones, different sizes, different shapes, and a couple huge boulders. And I knew instantly, that he was showing me that was the load I was carrying, that all that mess was stuff in my life. So I said, well, Father, just dump that wagon. You know, I don't want to carry all of that. And I prayed for healing. I prayed for deliverance from absolutely anything in me that was not pleasing to him, anything that was standing in my way. And this is what he said to me. Oh, he said, we'll start with the small things. You're on a journey. We'll start with the smaller ones first and work our way up to the larger ones. And I sat there looking at that wagon and all those rocks and those huge boulders, and it occurred to me I had a better idea. Imagine that. I started thinking, well, that seems backward. Why don't you just take the largest things out first and then the smaller things, it would be so easy to just get rid of. And this is what he said. He said, when a surgeon has a patient that needs surgery, he does all kinds of tests because he has to make sure that patient is strong enough to stand the surgery. And he told me I wasn't strong enough to just dump those big ones first. That by starting with the smaller ones, I would gain strength and gain strength and gain strength until I was strong enough that he could deliver me of the larger things. Well, I have spent my life seeking him, the rest of my life from then, seeking him, desperately wanting to get to the big ones because he's done so many things and he's delivered me all along the way. I've had miraculous healing more than one time. He's delivered me of demonic oppression. He's delivered me from more than I want to talk about with the young ones in here. And the big ones were still there. And I didn't know what they were, and I didn't know what to do about them. And in February, on my birthday, I was healed of a mother's broken heart. He used my daughters to do that. I did not know. I had no idea it was the beginning of a spiritual journey that was going to culminate now, you know, in August when all of this last things happened. I had no idea that he had me on that path and that that was just the beginning. And that one thing, he used my daughters powerfully on my birthday. I can't imagine. I can't tell you the outpouring of love and what he did through them. And I would love to tell you what he spoke to my oldest daughter to give me and how she came about doing this. And it's such a beautiful story, and I want to give that story one day. And the difference in my life was so great, I really thought that was it. I thought that was the big one. There was so much difference, and I was happy and thrilled. And then I began to have this hunger and thirst like I have never had before for him. I've had a hunger and a thirst many times, just feeling like if you don't give me more, I can't stand it. But this time was different. I was desperate. I was begging. I felt his love for me so through what had happened and through that deliverance. There was such an outpouring of his love that I just couldn't get enough of him, and I wanted more. And I began to beg and plead and beg and plead and beg and plead, and I started absorbing everything I could do. I was reading everything I could read, listening to every tape I could listen to, reading Torah study in several different forms, the sheepfold gleanings and Joe's online and the Torah here. And it wasn't enough. And I said, I can't stand it. I have to have more. You have to fill me up. I'm hungry. I'm so thirsty for you. Please take me deeper so you can take me higher, so I can know you better. I can be closer to you. I can hear your voice better. I can feel your presence better. Do what you have to do. And finally, I started praying. I said, you know, I've always heard when the pupil's ready, the teacher will appear. And I was trying to do everything I could through the books and tapes and things. I said, send a teacher. Send someone that can help me. And I said, your pupil is ready. Do it yourself. Send the Ruach. Send a human being, somebody, anybody. And he brought me to my attention some books. A friend emailed me and told me about a book she thought I should read. And it was by C.R. Oliver. And the book was Sons of Zadok. A lot of you probably know about that book. Some of you probably have read it. And I was really taken with that book and that author. And I told Dixie about it. She called me and told me that she'd gone on his website and he had some other books. Well, in the meantime, where Robert worked was sending him on a business trip. Robert has never asked me to go on a business trip with him, ever. And this time, he was insistent that I go with him. And he had to be in school in Florida, training school for 5 days. And he said we could go down on the weekend. I was not in good shape physically. I had a degenerative disc in my back. And I had and still had chronic bursitis in both hips that I had for 15 years been getting cortisone shots and things in because there were in so much pain all the time. and my back was in so much pain, he knew I couldn't just make that trip without stopping. And he said, we can take a weekend to get down there. You can have the 5 days while I'm in school, and we can take a weekend to come back, and it won't be too hard on you. And I started praying about that because I couldn't leave home. I never felt safe anywhere except my home. That became my fake haven. But that's the way it was. My home was my safe place. And it was very difficult to leave overnight. I didn't mind taking a day trip, but let me be back home at night. It was extremely difficult. I had to overcome all kind of fear to go to Israel for that 8 days, but I did it because I knew if I didn't go, Robert wasn't going to go, and he wanted to go so badly. I overcame that and went. Now you're talking about 8 more days. And when I started praying about it, I began to get excited, and I couldn't believe that was me. So I knew it was the Father, and it hit me. He was calling me away. He was secluding me to himself. Robert would be in school all day. I had all day, and I got so excited because I'd been begging for more. And then he pointed out exactly which of those books. And I had a teacher. I was going down there. I was going to spend that time shut in a motel room. Nobody bothered me. No telephones, nothing. Nobody bothering me. And I did that, and I wanted so much more of him. I thought, surely, this, because I'd been reading one of his books on consuming fire, and I thought, surely, this is going to be, it talked about the difference between a refiner's fire and an empowering fire, that there were two types of fire. And I was after that empowering fire. I said, Lord, you know, empower me. You know, I'd been through so much refining, I was ready for something else. Well, to my, shock, shouldn't have been. I was dumped in the refiner's fire down there, and he took more out of me. He exposed more, changed all kinds of things in me, and I came back to find out there had been a storm at my house and my, just a mess, and I'd spent so much time because that was my safe place, and I didn't want to leave to go anywhere else. That was my little paradise, and it had to be, my yard had to be perfect and all this. And he just, and Dixie used to tell me it was my idol, that it meant too much to me, and I get so aggravated with her. Oh my goodness. And I said, listen, Yahweh gave me this place, and he means for me to take care of it with excellence, and it's his, I'm taking care of it for him. Why wouldn't I do it with excellence? You spend too much time here, it means too much to you, it's an idol. And it would just aggravate me. Well, she was right, and he smashed it. Sent a tree across some stuff, tore up all kinds of things while we were down there. One of the things he kept speaking to me is, hold everything loosely in your hand. Hold everything loosely in your hands. So when I came back, I got the message. And I said, it's yours. You wanted to re-landscape? Can't wait to see what you're planning to do with it. You know, I was able to let it go. That was huge to me, I thought, until he continued on. The tree that came down had a poison ivy vine on it. And Robert decided he was cleaning that vine off. And he did. And I begged him not to because I'm real allergic to poison ivy. Well, he cleaned it off. He's hiding under his prayer shawl back there now. And I got poison ivy. And it wasn't like any poison ivy I had ever had. It was the most horrendous thing. And at first, I was thinking, I knew I was allergic to poison ivy. And I was thinking, I don't need to go to the doctor. I'm going to the great physician. I'm going straight to Yahweh. I'm not going to run off and get a shot or be put back on prednisone or any of that. I'm going straight to the physician. Well, I prayed and prayed for healing for a couple of days, and I did not get that healing. I did not know he had a reason for sending me to the doctors. He wanted what he was going to do documented, and those doctors, and I say doctors because one wasn't enough for what I had. I ended up with three. And he wanted it documented, and it is well documented. It continued to get worse. Went to my family doctor, And he said, "Are you sure this is poison ivy?" I'm telling you, by then, I was suffering horribly. I was in absolute misery. The stuff had manifested so in my body. You've seen bubble wrap? Well, it wasn't this fine little poison ivy rash you normally get with the little bumps and stuff. This looked like bubble wrap. It was huge. My doctor looked at that, and he said, "I don't believe that's poison ivy." He said, "If that's poison ivy, it's poison ivy on steroids." And he said, "You sure you were exposed to it?" I said, "Yeah, my husband was in it." "Did he get it?" "Yes, he got it. He gave, and I got it." And he said, "Well, there's something more going on here than poison ivy." And he gave me, he said, "I'm going to give you," he said, "you know, I have a couple of cases a year. Usually one is a really bad case, but yours takes the cake. You win the prize." So he gave me steroids, more powerful than you would normally, a lot more powerful than what you would normally prescribe for that. And he gave me prescription strength cream. Went home, and I started using that, and nothing happened. Every single day, more was breaking out. Strange thing about it, it was manifesting in all kinds of different ways. Lots of it was just huge areas with big old bubbles. Some of it was manifesting in different ways. I need to describe all of that to you because you're going to know why in a little bit. But it continued to get worse. I couldn't figure out what was happening. Everything I was taking, I felt like I was taking placebos, sugar pills, absolutely nothing. The prednisone that he prescribed in a different manner and in a lot stronger strength was having no effect whatsoever. The prescription cream did nothing for the itching. I was about to go crazy. And I called back after a few, well, let me back up. I started praying. I said, "Father, what's going on? What is going on?" And he said, "A message for the body, own the body." So I realized this was spiritual. And at that point, I stopped praying for healing, but I started praying for strength to get through it. I started begging him to let me get some sleep because I could not sleep. It literally felt like I could take my fingernails and claw the meat off the bones. I was in such agony. And more kept breaking out every day. I called back. I said, "Medicine's doing nothing." He said, "If that medicine, the strength I gave you, is not doing anything, we have something more going on here than poison ivy. I'm second guessing that diagnosis. I'm leaving town tomorrow. I cannot leave you without knowing that someone is there. You need to see, I'm sending you to a dermatologist. I need a second opinion, and I need to know you're covered while I'm gone for 4 days. I went to the dermatologist, and she could not believe her eyes. Let me tell you what my body looked like by then. The huge areas, the bubble wrap bubbles, and then there were areas that looked like there were huge, deep burns. Horrible looking burns. Then there were areas that looked like somebody had taken a round rod and just stabbed me repeatedly. They were all manifesting in different ways. The ones that were the round ones, and it wasn't as many of those, they actually festered a little. Everything was different. So the dermatologist took one look at me, and she said, "I am very unhappy with what I see." She looked at what I was taking. She said, "I cannot give you prednisone any stronger than that. That's a very strong dose." And she looked at the prescription cream and said, "I can't give you anything stronger than that." And I was telling her, "I'm in so much pain." They couldn't understand why I was in pain. Said, "Poison ivy should not cause you pain. It should only, the itching we understand, and we've never seen a case like this, but I don't understand the pain." And what was happening, before I would break out in an area, I would have horrible pains in that area for a day or two, and then it would break out. I understand that now. I didn't understand that then. She said, this cannot be just poison ivy. There's something going on in your body that is has not been diagnosed. Well, by then, I knew it's spiritual. By then, he'd already told me, this is a physical manifestation of what it you've been carrying in your body all this time. The wounds, unhealed wounds that I was full of. Wounds of rejection, wounds of abandonment, wounds that were not healed, partially healed, not healed, festering, some of them festering, some of them looked like burns, some of them looked like stabs. One looked like I'd been chopped with an axe, and that one was in the back. I knew that, and I couldn't tell. Well, I can't tell them that, so they're trying to figure out what else is going on in the body. I have to have a compromised immune system. There may be something undiagnosed going on. And she said, I am very unhappy with this, and I am very concerned. And she said, I want pictures. And she had me take my clothes off, and she took picture after picture after picture of my body. And then she said that she wanted to do a biopsy. She did two biopsies on these places that were already so painful and itching. I literally was in such agony that there were times I thought I was going to lose my mind, that I was just going to lose my sanity because nothing stopped. And this is day and night. And she did two biopsies, had to put needles in it, stitches in it, something else to deal with, so it just got worse. Now, the thing is, the entire time I'm going through this, I am hearing the voice of Yahweh like I have never heard it in my life. His presence is so powerful, and his voice is so clear, and he is talking to me day and night, but he's not eased that pain. He's not healed me, not ease the pain or anything, but he would come and just talk to me and spend time with me. And he began showing me and teaching me all kinds of things about these wounds. When I got them, how the demonic forces had attached to them, how they had developed into actual strongholds in my life. I was in such agony, I asked him to give me strength to get through it, to please let me have some sleep, and if he would just take the edge off the horrible itching. And I literally would stand in my bathroom and hold onto the counter to keep myself from grabbing my hair and snatching it out. I was in so much pain and so much agony. And this was going on day after day after day after day after day. That dermatologist, when I told her I could not sleep, had not slept during that time, could not sleep, she said, I'm going to give you something. They had told me to take Benadryl, Allegra, all this mess. Nothing fazed anything. Benadryl always knocked me out. Anytime I'd ever taken it, it didn't faze me. It didn't even make me drowsy. So she said, I'm going to give you something that will knock you out. Don't take it during the day. Take it only at night because you will not be able to function. I will guarantee you, you will sleep. So I came home and I had that medicine. And that afternoon, she said not take it during the day, so I just couldn't wait, count down the hours to night when I could take it. And then over in the afternoon, it hit me. If I take that medicine and it knocks me out, and he comes, I'm not going to feel his presence or hear his voice. And I could not bear that. And I didn't care what I had to go through. I was going to hear that voice and feel his presence. If he came, if he was through talking and he was ready for me to have some sleep, Then I was very thankful to have that medicine. But if not, if he was coming and I was going to feel that presence and hear that voice, that was the only thing that mattered. I was so sick that my girls had been notified. They were emailing and emailing. I wasn't emailing back. They weren't hearing from me. They contacted Robert. And I finally, he said, you better get in touch with your daughters. They're so worried about you. And I sent an email that said, so sorry. Can't email. Can't talk on the phone. Too ill. I love you. Mom, be in touch when I can. And I would not take a phone call. I wouldn't return an email or anything except Dixie called every day. But she knew how she would say, I know you don't feel like talking. Just say better or worse. So I'd say better or worse. And every day I said, pray, tell everybody, pray that I can sleep. Pray that I can sleep. Pray that I can sleep. There were several churches of friends that had me on their prayer chains. I knew you were here, that you all were praying for me. I knew she was praying for me. And that afternoon she called and she said, can you just tell me, do you feel like just telling me what the dermatologist said? I told her about those pills and I said, Dixie, she told me that if I took these pills, I can sleep. But if I sleep, I'm not going to hear his voice. I feel his presence if he comes. So I need you to agree with me. I said, nothing I have taken yet has had any effect whatsoever. Nothing. You can't even tell I'm taking it. You can't tell I've taken all this prednisone. You can't tell I'm putting this salve on and this is supposed to help. Nothing's working. So I know you're always doing that. So agree with me in prayer. I said, I am too sick to try to get in touch with all these people that are praying for me and say, stop praying for me to sleep because I might not hear his voice. And I said, I need you to agree with me in prayer that if it's his will that I sleep, that I can take this pill and sleep. So I'm going to take the pill. But agree with me that if he'll come and spend time with me and talk to me, I'm willing to suffer whatever I have to suffer for that. And she said, I'll pray that. And I slept a few hours. I woke up. He was there. He talked to me. He explained things to me. He taught me things I would have never thought of. He took me back to specific places and taught me how the demonic forces worked.